wonderful words of life. Amen. The living word. So grateful we can gather around the living word and not the dead word tonight. Amen. And we're thankful for the word of God, and everything we believe is founded truly upon this wonderful book right here, the blessed Bible. Thank God for it. Well, again, just rejoicing in the great weekend that we've had, and rejoicing in God's goodness and answers to prayer. We do still have some of our dear brothers and sisters that are battling with sickness. Still going around and some of the members, but I think for the most part we're working through it. And so let's just keep praying for one another for good health and for encouragement in that area. I had a good visit with the Tate family the other day, and they send their greetings. Brother Tim sends his greetings to everyone. You know Brother Tim, he prays, and they're doing well, and just let's be mindful of them and the things that are going on in their life. But we're very grateful for what God is doing. You know, we've had a great time, have we not, all weekend, those that were here last night. And then this morning, it's just been a blessing to see the Spirit of God work, has it not? Encouraging us, strengthening us. And I want to tell you, I've really enjoyed going through this mini-series what is a functioning church member, what is a biblical New Testament church member. What does that look like? What does the Bible say about that type of person? And you know, we talked about in our first message how to be a functioning church member. And I'm not going to re-preach that, but we just talked about how each part of the body is significant and how we are depending upon one another to fulfill one goal, and that is to glorify Jesus Christ and to love each other and to love the people in this world to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we talked about how the second characteristic of a biblical church member is to be a unifier, to be a unifying church member, one that seeks to bring people together, one that seeks to be a peacemaker, one that seeks to be, hey, I don't want to be a divider. I don't want to divide others. I don't want to sow discord. I want to be a unifier. And just taking whatever necessary measures we have to do that. And how important that is to be a biblical church member. And then tonight, one of the messages that I've been really praying about and asking God to give me wisdom on, it's quite an interesting subject, but it's a very real subject that we will try to tackle to some degree tonight by the help of the Lord. And that is what the Bible says about preferences of the church member. And I'll just want to submit to you tonight, the message that I'm going to bring is this. This is the gist of it. I will not let my church be about my preferences and my desires. Okay? Let me say that once again. I am suggesting to you that each of us as a biblical New Testament church member should not have the attitude that church is all about my preferences and my desires. And I'm going to help us tackle that with the Word of God here in just a minute. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, I come to you just truly depending upon you. Lord, these subjects that we're talking about, unity and being useful as a church member and all of these things, God, we can't understand these things apart from your Spirit. And so I am just asking, Holy Spirit, would you just take over? Would you just use my tongue and my voice? And Lord, I just pray you'd use this message to convey to the people here tonight, Lord, what it means to be a biblical church member in the area of our preferences and desires. Lord God, I do pray that you would help us and use this message to even unify us. Lord, that's what we want, and that's what we know you want. And so we commit these things to you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, if you'll go with me to the book of Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 12, we're going to find something that Paul has been, is another gift chapter. We see several chapters in the Word of God where Paul is referring to gifts in the local church for the sake of the unity of the body and the effectiveness of the body, the usefulness of the body of Christ. And Paul is dealing with that in Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. I'm going to begin reading here and verse number 10. The Bible says here in Romans chapter 12 verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Notice those last five words. In honor preferring one another. Now, I want to try to answer a question tonight by the grace of God. And that is this. How do we, as church members, handle all of our different preferences? That's a tough job to tackle, is it not? I mean, you think about everybody in this room and you think about what, how we differ in our gifts for the local New Testament church, how we differ in our personalities, and oh yes, how we differ in our preferences. You know, God's got something to tell us about how do we handle our differences. God gives us the answer, and I just read you the answer. It was found right there in that verse of chapter 12, verse 10. Can I tell you something here? The context of this chapter is talking about the gifts to the local church. We know that verse that talks about surrender in verses 1 and 2, but then Paul goes on down through the Word of God there and starts talking about those different gifts that he has given to the body of Christ. The same thing we read in 1 Corinthians 12. He is repeating some of the things here. Some are different, but the same idea. And do you know what he follows it up with? I'm not going to preach on all these things tonight. But after he starts giving these different gifts of that are all in the church, look what he starts saying in verse 9. After he gives these lists of gifts that we all have differently, differing one from another, he says here in verse 9, but listen, but let love be without dissimulation. In other words, let it be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And he says, being kindly affection one to another and brotherly love. Now, why would he have to follow up all the gifts with explaining that? Because I want to tell you why. It's because we as humans, sometimes with our different gifts, if we're not careful, number one, we could draw jealous of one another's gifts. There can be certain personalities or gifts that may irritate one or the other, or there just may be something in that realm that Paul says, now listen, these are the gifts, but let me tell you something. You love each other without hypocrisy. Whatever gift they have. And then he goes on to say, and what the verse that I'm really focusing on in verse 10, he says, be kind to each other with affection one to another with brotherly love. And then he says, in honor, preferring one another. Now, that's an interesting verse right there. What does that idea of preferring one another mean? Well, we're going to talk more about it here in just a moment. But I think exactly what it says here, my dear friends, it is the idea of this. God may give you a gift, or God may give me a gift that is definitely differing from you or me. But one of the things we are not to do is we are not to try to get in the way of that gift. We are not trying to hinder that gift. We are not trying to be jealous of that gift. We are no ways trying to hinder that gift being used. And I believe right here in the same text, you can make the application that what he is saying, look, give deference. Give deference to those in the body. He's saying, prefer one another. Honor those people that have different gifts. Honor those people that may have a little different view on something. Now again, we're not talking about doctrine here. We're talking about preferences. We're talking about the use of the members and the body, because we all have different functions. We all have different gifts. We all have different strengths. We all have different weaknesses. So the question is, when we get these little petty preferences that are differing from each other, how do we handle that? Well, we prefer one another. And that is so hard for our flesh. It is so difficult for our flesh to see somebody that maybe doesn't think just like you do on a subject when it comes to preference, having a preference, and for you to say, you know what? I don't see it that way, but you know what? I honor you. And I even defer to you, perhaps in this situation. I don't see it like that. Maybe that wouldn't be my number one pick, but listen, I'm going to defer to you. That's what this verse is talking about. Is preferring one another. Go over with me. Hold your place there in Romans and go over there with me to the book of Philippians. To the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Paul is talking about his the servant of the Lord, Timotheus here. And he's talking about sending them to the church of Philippi. And look what he says here. And this again is going to help really sum up for what I'm going for, what my target is in this message and the idea of having a preference is what is a preference about? Okay, so look, verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you. This is Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. That I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Get verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Do you see what he's saying here about his servant here, or the Lord's servant, Timotheus? He's saying, this man is one who is not always seeking his own, but he is always seeking those things which belong unto Jesus Christ. That is, my friend, is what our preferences that's what our preferences will do. It will help us, and I'm going to explain this here in a minute, to be balanced. But one of the major things is to understand, preferences are not the most important thing. They are important, but they're not the most important. The most important is coming to a unified position around our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the goal in mind. Not seeking our own. Hey, being a biblical church member, let's just put it right out there. It is not about seeking our own. Can I get an amen right there? Just to see if y'all with me on that. It's not about seeking our own. It's about seeking, serving the Lord Jesus Christ and making much of Him and serving others. But it's most definitely not about me and my preferences. And I believe Paul deals with that. You know, I'm going to deal with a few things here about preferences, and I hope you'll just go with me through these. But you know, sometimes those of you with small children, and maybe even with teenagers, you may experience this. I don't know. But you know, sometimes I've caught Marianne and Thomas Brent fighting over a toy. For teens, it's like fighting over the phone. Who's getting the iPhone right now? Who's got the iPad, okay? Who's got this or that? And you got one that prefers it over the other. And then, of course, you got little Caroline in the picture. And she don't care what anybody thinks. She's just going to go up and take it. She's pretty bold. She has a preference to grab something, and that's what she's going to do. She has no consideration what anybody else thinks. And the Thomas and Marianne, they're growing and learning how to prefer one another when one of them's playing with something. But you know, it doesn't matter. Boy, one of them can be playing with something and have it for a long time. And then, you know what Carolina do? She'll go up and grab that toy and protest if you resist her. That toy's hers. right then. So I've seen my kids, and I thank God for them. I've seen, well, Mary and Thomas Bent just defer and say, all right, Caroline, they go grab another toy. Well, I want you to know, Caroline realizes that's not the toy she wants. She wants the toy they're going for. And then she takes off to that one and starts protesting. And boy, she just, you know what that is? That is a picture of immaturity. That is a picture of wanting her way. And that being the only way. Now, thankfully, as adults, we don't act like that, do we? That laugh says a lot, folks. We do. Many times. And in many times it takes place in a New Testament local church just like this one. Where we are so caught up in our way. And the way I think it should be done. And we do not understand that there is spirituality. There is a spiritual need for us to defer one to another in the area of our preferences. Let me explain. Number one, I got 4 points here. Number one, let's realize right up front that preferences, they do exist. That's in our nature. That's who we are. And by the way, if any way you say that you get from the idea tonight that I'm saying preferences are wrong, man, I've either totally miscommunicated or something, because I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, how do we deal with these preferences? Preferences are not bad. But what do we do with them in a body like this, where there is so much diversity in those things? And by the way, it's just not the body of Crooked Creek Baptist. Every church has this. God wants us to know they exist. Here are some areas that you can find different preferences. I'm just going to list some of these. I'm not going to dwell on them. I might in the next point. But the first one is kind of, you know, that most common one that is mentioned, and that is decor. Do we want orange carpet or do we want green carpet? Do we want green windows or do we want clear windows? Y'all want clear windows? Okay. We'll work towards that. Do we want a mat at the door or do we not want a mat at the door? Do we want this on the wall or do we not want this on the wall? And there can be differing in the decor. Also, programs. There's differences in opinion in programs that the church has and how they should be held and how they should be led and different things like that. Here's another one. Here's another one in preferences. It's a big one in preferences. And that is the subject of our dress preferences. That exists. You know, it just does. And we can't act like it doesn't. But how do we deal with that? Well, hopefully I'm going to talk about some things we can do to deal with that. What about order of service? Oh, now listen, order of service. Announcements should really be at the beginning, Pastor. Those are just preferences, you know. Those are just things I'm calling out here. Music. Music is a preference. There's preferences in music. And I'll talk about that here in just a moment. What about spending? There's preferences there and where we spend our finances. There's preferences there that you prefer. There's personal care. How you as a church member feel like you prefer to be cared for this way as a church member. A facility focus, where we prefer, some prefer to keep things exactly the way they are since 1803 and do not change. And then there's some that might just want to turn this into a disco hall. And that ain't going to happen, all right? Neither are we going to stay in 1803, amen, all right? But the point is, there might be some preferences there, and that's true. And then just the idea of change, you know, whether you're changing in an area of a budgeted item, you're going to start investing in a certain area. There's a change in that hadn't always been, and that can evoke some suspicion from others, or just some hurt feelings in many ways. But the idea is, folks, they exist. The preferences do, and not only do they exist, but get this, they most definitely differ. They differ in so many ways. You know, I could go through each of those that I named on the decor and the programs and the dress, order of service, music, you know, spending. Listen, it's all going to apply. You know, there's the music, the ideas. Okay, well, in music, do we have to have all old traditional hymns? And that's it? Or can we have newer songs as well and sing those? And there's a preference of that. And by the way, there's preferences throughout this body right here in that area. So how do you bring those together? Well, I'm going to talk about that here in just a minute. Because it is about coming together for one cause. It's not about getting it my way and that's the way. That's not what it's about. It's about doing what we can do to best glorify Jesus Christ through this church, which is His church. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about our Lord and Savior and honoring Him. And that's what we will make the focus. Although there again, there's nothing wrong with having a preference. But they differ. You folks would find it comical. And I do. I just to keep things lighthearted in my own mind, I do. I kind of chuckle at some of these things. But in the past, I would say 18 months that I've been here, and it has been a blessing. It's been the best year and a half of my life. And I'm not just saying that. I really believe that with all my heart. It is the best year and a half of my life. I love it here. And I love you folks. But you folks have gotten to know me better and my family. And that's the way it's going to be. We're going to grow together and grow to know each other. And I'm getting to know you. And just in my leadership, I've been able to see some things that are just interesting. I may make a decision or something, or we may make a little change here or do something, an addition. And that day, someone will come up to me and say, "Pastor, that was a blessing. I appreciate that." And I'm so, well, praise the Lord, you know. And then that evening, or the next week in an email, or the next Sunday, say, pull me aside, Pastor, you know, I really didn't like that. Do you know what both of those people were saying? They were sent, and what they were saying was not wrong. Even the one that disagreed, even the one that had a different preference, they were giving, though, their preference. That's not really my preference. And I'm not suggesting in any way that someone should not ever voice to a brother or sister or even to me that maybe if you have a preference. But what I'm saying is that we got to understand from both sides, whether if they're opposite of one another or close together, there are times where we will need to defer to one another. Why? Because it's biblical. It's the Word of God. Paul told us to. He said, prefer one another. Means make way for one. Show that brotherly love that it's not all about you, but it is for the common cause of glorifying the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, King Jesus. And that, my friends, is where we differ. I've had that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to scare you, honey. I shouldn't have clapped like that. But we see that we do differ in these areas. And that's happened at least a dozen times. And by the way, each time, even the ones that may have been disagreed, it was all done graciously. I've never had anybody in the year and a half I've been here, not one time has come to me in an ungodly manner, being ungracious or whatever, or just sort of in a spirit of anger, I should say, not one time. And I'm so thankful for that. But one thing I've remarked, my point is that there are so many different preferences. So what do? Well, we allow the Holy Spirit to bring us together in our differing preferences. Just like He does with our different gifts. We give it to the Holy Spirit and He uses it for the glory of Jesus Christ. That is what the Lord wants us to do. We see they exist. We see they differ. But then thirdly, I want us to say this. I want us to see this. They unify. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. How can something different and we're all different, unify. Well, let's go back to the body. Paul always uses the body in 1 Corinthians there to illustrate this. The body, the members, different, one from another. Eyeball, ear, hand, fingers, toes, pinky toe, veins, tendons, ligaments. They all differ one from another, and man, they're really different in some cases, really different. But praise God, they all work together. Isn't that a blessing? How God designed that? They do. They unify when they work together, when they defer one to another. How do they unify? I want to see number one that we see in our text back in Romans chapter 12. It says, "In honor, preferring one another." That word honor there, I would say they unify because number one, get this. When you have a preference and your brother or sister has a preference and you defer to that brother and sister, you say, well, you know, in a Christ-like spirit, you know, I don't really see it that way. And you know, that's not the way I would personally do it. That's not my number one pick. But you know what? I'm going to defer to you because really it's just a preference. And you defer to that. What are you showing to that brother or sister in Christ? This is what you're showing. You're showing honor. And folks, can I just say this, please? I'm asking God's Spirit to help us in this. When we honor each other, there's unity. When we honor one another like that, giving deference there, and we defer to one another, and we see that that is a command of Scripture, God blesses a spirit of unity there. And you know what that honor, that word honor means too? It not only means there's you giving way, but it just simply means this, that you value their preference. Oh, wow. Now, wait a minute. This is going to get tough. This is going to get real tough for the flesh. Do you know that you can disagree with someone's preference but still value it? You sure can if you're going to be a Spirit-filled Christian. You can disagree with someone's preference but still value it. What do you mean by value? Honor. You honor them as a brother and sister of Christ, as if they do have the Holy Spirit living in them too. They read their Bibles too. They pray too. They come to church too. But it's not a preference just like you. But that's okay. Because you honor them. And you say, you know what? That's maybe not the way I see it. But you know what? I'm going to honor you, brother and sister in Christ. That's the way the Bible tells us. We do it by showing honor. And then again, we see we show deference. Deference there, and we show deference to them, and we defer to them to give way. And what a blessing that is when we do that. God honors that. And by the way, when you do that, the person will usually respond like, wow, man, they just honored me. Man, they just really submitted in a way. And by the way, that's what that verse means. That word says preferring. It almost is like you're giving way. You're submitting in a sense to, you know what? You can go that like that. And I'm not going to judge you for that. That's your preference. I have mine. But hey, there you go. And you know what? That brings about a unity among the body. A respect for each other. And folks, I want to tell you something. You know what the opposite is? Is when someone has a different preference than you do and you look down upon that preference and you judge that preference and you stick your nose up at that preference, you know what that causes? Division. God is not pleased with that. But you know how else preferences unify? You know, they unify by showing servanthood. You know, the Bible talks about, especially in the New Testament, over 100 times, folks, the Bible talks about us serving one another, being a servant, Jesus talks about it. Paul talks about it. It's over and over and over and over in the New Testament. And that's what it is about. If I want to be a New Testament church member, my focus is going to be serving Christ and serving others. That's going to be the focus. It's about servanthood. And when we serve each other, my friends, I want to tell you what, there's going to be unity. When we serve one another and we're not all caught up in our different preferences and whatnot, look, there is going to bring a commonality. There's going to bring a common goal. There's going to bring a unity that the devil hates. You see, the enemy wants us to get caught up in petty differences and petty preferences. He wants us to get caught up. He wants us to make the preferences the main thing. But guess what it becomes? A distraction. A distraction. God help us when we allow it to become that. A servanthood. I'm here to serve you. Listen, I may have my preferences and you may have yours, but when it comes right down to it, what are we here for? We're here to serve each other and to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is what is biblical. And that's why we will say tonight, I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires only. That's not what it's about. You see here, we need to serve one another. But then here's another thing that unifies about preferences. This is neat. I like this. You know what it does, church? The difference in preferences is that it gives the body balance. Isn't that a blessing? It gives us a balance. We're not way off over here. Because listen, if everybody had the same preference, that means everybody would be the same. And man, that would be bad. We want to be different, amen? I don't want to be like you. And you don't want to be like me. Amen. Watch that. I was going to buy your eggs in the morning, but you just shot that. I'm just kidding. Hey, listen, we differ, and it's okay. But what do we do in things of this nature, in our differing gifts, different personalities, different preferences? It's good to have that balance. Some may be higher in their preference, and that's okay for you. You shouldn't dog that. You shouldn't criticize that. You shouldn't be judgmental for somebody with a higher preference. Because when you start criticizing somebody with a higher preference, I want to tell you something, you are not honoring that person. And the same goes to those that may have a lower preference to what is up here. So what if somebody has maybe a preference that is not as strong, okay, in an area? Same area, but not as strong, a lower preference. What does that mean? Well, how do we judge that? Do we look critical of that? No, we don't. Then you dishonor that preference. No, you see, what we do is even with those varying differences and varying preferences, what can happen in that case? They can balance each other. We want balance in the body of Christ. And it's good to have that balance. I'm glad for those that may have a higher preference. Whoever it may be in our body, whether it's me or you or whoever, they all vary in the different areas. I could go through 1,000 different areas. We can't do that. You know that. There's so many areas. But say you do. You know what? That's a help to me. I look at that. I say, wow, that's good. That's a blessing. Man, they're careful. That's the way I ought to look at it, man. They're being cautious. You know, and I may look at a brother and sister and their preference may be lowered a little bit. You know what? I can look at that and honor it too and say, wow, you know what? You know, that's true. You know, there's nothing really in the Word of God that just explicitly prohibits that. And there's some liberty there. And you can appreciate that. They may not be what I choose, but I can appreciate that preference and not be judgmental of it, but just agree that, hey, when we come together, it's not about this lower preference. It's not about this higher preference. It's about being in balance so that we might glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Respecting one another in balance. You know, this subject is again, you can go so many different ways, but I don't know if I'm doing it tonight. I've asked the Lord to really help me this. I can't go into all the details of this because we'd be here for 20 years talking about this. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get to the heart of the matter, church. I'm trying to get to our heart and how we view this as a different preferences, because we got to get to the point where we say, I will not let church be about my preferences and desires only. It's not about that only. It's about me serving my brothers and sisters in Christ and serving the great cause of Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm going to do. That is what the Lord expects of us. You know, can I say this in my last point? Preferences that we have, they're not the most important thing. Can I get an amen right there? They're not. They're not the most important. But they are important. They're not the most important, but they are important, especially to you. And you don't need to feel bad about your preferences. Don't ever feel guilty about your preferences. Listen, God has given you a preference that's guided by His Spirit and His Word. And listen, whether it's high or a little low, wherever you're at in that preference range on the 10 million different subjects that we could mention, let me tell you something. You get your preference and your guidance from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And you children, can I just encourage you, you teenagers, your preference as you are reading in the Word of God is also going to come from your parents. And by the way, that's biblical. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? So if mom and dad say, hey, Sally, this is what I expect of you today. You know what Sally should say? She'd say, Daddy, you know, I'll do that to honor you. But you know what Sally should say? If she's being honest, she can say, Daddy or Mommy, I don't really understand that. I don't really see that the way you do. But I want you to know I'm going to honor you because I am your child and I am in your household. And I want you to know I'm going to honor you. That's biblical. Amen? And I hope you teenagers and you young people here will understand that very fact, that you may have a preference and you're at that age where you're still under the authority of your parents and they're still feeding you and paying for your rent. And man, they're paying for your schooling or helping you with your schooling. And you go down the line. Hello, hello, hello. And then you have your preference. And then that's when you need to say, you know what, maybe in a respectful way. And mom and dad, you ought to be able to, hey, listen, you ought to be able to listen to your children if they are speaking to you in a respectful manner, even if they're disagreeing. Parents, you should be able to listen to your children talk to you as long as it's in a respectful manner. I won't speak to a child to me if he or she's talking to me disrespectfully. That won't be tolerated. But if they disagree with something I've said, I want to open the conversation and say, well, listen, what's going on? Why don't you agree with that? What is your thinking? And allow them to talk. And you may come to that conclusion and say, you know what, honey, I appreciate you sharing that with me. But you could say at the time, look, this is what we're going to do for now. But you could say this, but honey, what I will do, I will promise you, I will go and take some time to pray about this. You see, you know what that shows? This is so biblical. You know what that shows? Exactly what I'm talking about here. It shows honor. And parents, we need to honor our children. And children, please listen to me. We need to honor our parents. Honor them. Respect them, even if you don't agree with them. So you can make all these applications in the family. I didn't intend to go in that direction, but God led me there, so I went. But we see the body, the importance of this. It's not the most important, our preferences, but it is important. What is the most important? Can I just make this statement? The most important is this, is protecting and advancing the cause of Jesus Christ. Can I say that again, church? What is the most important? It is protecting and advancing the cause of Jesus Christ. That is number one. It's not about my preferences. If my preference is not going to hinder the name, if it's not going to hinder in any way the name of Jesus Christ, if it's not going to harm the name of Jesus Christ in any way, if it's not going to harm my brother and sister in a way to be a stumbling block to them, to cause them to sin, that, my friend, is a preference. If it's not going to do any of those things, it's a preference, and that is where I can defer as a spiritual brother in Christ. And that is a differing issue. You have a preference issue. And you say, well, Pastor, what do you think about a sin issue? When does it go from preference to sin? Well, I'll tell you exactly when you know. Again, when it hinders your relationship or someone else's relationship with Jesus Christ. That's when it goes to be sin. If it's hindering me and my walk with Christ, or a brother or sister, if it is strictly prohibiting them to grow in grace in Jesus Christ, you better double check, because it very well could just be a sin. And then that's handled differently. We don't defer to people in their sin. I'm sorry. God doesn't do that, and we don't do that. We don't excuse sin. But you know what we do if it is a sin? This is what we don't do. We already covered that in unity. Remember gossip? We go around, can you believe so-and-so did that? Can you believe so-and-so said that? Can you believe so-and-so wore that? Can you believe so-and-so? Can you believe what she said to me? Can you believe what he said to me? Can you believe what they think of me? And then that gets around as gossip instead of going to that brother and sister in Christ that you think is in sin. Now, wait a minute. That you think is in sin, not in front of a bunch of people where you're going to embarrass them, but you go to them privately. Call them up, go to their house when it's just the two of you, and you say, look, I just want to ask you about something that I've observed. To me, it appears to be a sinful situation, but I just wanted to talk to you about it. That's how you approach that. I just want to talk to you about this situation. I saw this. And then you say, can you explain this situation? And you know what? Very well could be that person responds in that situation and clarifies a total misunderstanding. Or it could be, you know what? That's true, brother. That's true, sister. That I was doing that. But I thank you for bringing that to my attention. And I will consider that and pray about that. And that's how it's handled. And you know what else that person may say? I get it. All right, let's just give the scenarios. They may say this. Yeah, that's what I was doing. But it may be a situation where that's what I prefer. I see it as a preference. And then as a Christian, you will have to say, okay, you came and talked to that person, and then you have to let that person be led by God's Spirit themselves. Now, I'm talking about adults here. You children will be under submission to your parents. They will help you. They will train you in this area, and hopefully when you do launch out, you will be ready. But you see, we consider each other in a lot of these areas of preference. It's so important. You know, last night was a great night. Well, it could have been greater if I could have had cheesecake. Let me explain something to you. I'm going to try to illustrate what I've been saying. I hope I've been making some sense. Last night we had our sweetheart banquet, and man, we had Olive Garden, and it was good. The piece of lettuce that I had, it was very, very good. There were breadsticks. Breadsticks. I smelled the garlic as soon as they came in. Pasta Alfredo sauce. Oh, so good. And then, like I said, there was cheesecake. And there wasn't just one kind of cheesecake, but there was raspberry cheesecake and chocolate cheesecake and regular cheesecake, and I think some other types of cheesecake. I want to illustrate something to you folks. There was some conflict going on. There was some serious conflict. Some members of my body were in conflict. My taste buds were saying, yeah, go for it. But my waistline was saying, no, you dummy, stop it. My stomach was saying, yes, get it, Brinson. It's going to be worth every bite. It's not going to hurt anything. Everybody else is having some. My stomach was saying yes, but then there was another member that had to pipe up. My arteries. My arteries said, no, no, Brinson, we're clogging down here, man. We're clogging. Stop that. You see, I had members in conflict, didn't I? But let's be honest, in this situation, the conflict, I want to tell you, I believe with all my heart, was preferences. I could have eaten that cheesecake, and my arteries, you know what? They could defer. Amen? Yours did. You see, there was conflict there, but because I do have a goal, yes, to lose some weight, to get some pounds down to where I can be of a healthy weight, and to be a good steward of my health, I am trying to make some progress there. And so in this situation, I did prefer the cheesecake. It was a preference. It was a good preference. Those breadsticks, that was my preference. And that sweet tea was my preference. Man, I could go all these preferred things, but because of my current situation, I deferred, and because of what I was doing, I said, no, I'm just going to let everybody else partake. And I did get me some salad, amen. And I got some of that grilled chicken, amen. And I had some water. Water was good. And I deferred, I forgot the strawberries dipped in chocolate. Thanks a lot, Jessica, okay? I'm just kidding, Jessica. But you see what I'm talking about. But then I just got to tell y'all this. Since I'm being so transparent already, just let me go ahead and tell you this. I went to a brother in our church. And I said, brother, you know, tonight at the sweetheart banquet, I'm trying to be good. And as a thing of accountability and as a way of encouragement, would you just... I don't know. I mean, if you could, would you mind not eating your cheesecake too? It'll be a help to me. If you will refrain from eating your cheesecake and you know, it'll be an accountability thing and it won't be a stumbling block. And this brother said, you know what? I said, I got a better idea. I will help you. He said, brother, I will eat your cheesecake for you. That was Brother Mike Swofford right there, okay? Folks, I say all that to say this. What is the purpose? Church membership from a biblical perspective is about servanthood. It's about giving. It's about putting others first. It's about deferring one to another, preferring one another at times when we have different preferences. And if we're going to have a healthy church, we have got to get that. Because there is power when we can mature and realize that. Our third pledge that I'd like for us to, you can read silently with me as I read it out loud, is going to be this. This is our third pledge. We've had a functioning church member, a unified church member, but then it's this. I am a church member. I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires only. That is self-serving. I am a member in this church to serve others and to serve Christ. just as the body has differing gifts, we also have various preferences. I understand that there will be times when I will need to lovingly and patiently defer my individual preferences for the unity of the body and the advancement of the gospel. Can I get a hearty amen from the church on that? Amen. That is our prayer. That is our desire. And I trust that you will make this commitment with me. This is not saying anyone doesn't have a voice. It's not saying anybody's a doormat. It's not saying that anybody just needs to be run over. No. As a member, of course you have a voice. You know that. But in some of these petty preferences that really don't make a huge difference in the advancement of the gospel and the protection of the name of Jesus Christ, I want to tell you something. We got to respect that not everybody's going to have the same preference. But what we try to do as a body of Christ, we try to find that middle ground. You know, I don't think compromise is a dirty word. I don't. I think compromise is a biblical word. The meaning of it, it's called preferring one another. You know how you compromise? You say, look, I'd like it this way, but you know what? Let's do it this way. And you meet in the middle, or you give some way. You give some of your way. Maybe they give some of their way. And you come and find middle ground. And I believe with all my heart, church, Jesus is pleased with that. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I've attempted to yield myself to you. And I pray that it was received.